Welcome everybody to Tapes and Scowls.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
You look well.
Are you talking to me or them?
I can't see them.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. You know, that's a weird voice I did. It really hurt my throat. I'm going
to
stop
it
now.
It sounded like, and you had to like kind of arch your shoulders up a little bit to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I got to really want it.
Yeah.
It I got to make sure I can't breathe.
It's a whole performance thing, yeah.
Yeah. My one-man show, everybody, if you'd like to see it, will be at the Fillmore.
That's nice.
That's not true.
That's a big venue.
It is.
Like, not even in the Foundry. Like, you have the full Fillmore for this.
Well, not the full. I'm just in the...
You're just standing there.
Just standing in the entranceway until they kick me out.
Gotcha.
Usually, most performances, I get a good 2 minutes.
Okay. That ain't bad.
Before they realize that what I'm doing is art, and they're like, I don't think so.
Okay.
So they throw me out onto my tukus.
Tukus.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get thrown out on your tukus.
I picture Bob Hoskins and Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
When the monkey throws him out. Nice monkey suit.
So good.
Oh, I love that.
We need to watch that for this. You know what we're missing? We're missing things like that. And I guess like romance movies. We didn't do too many romance movies.
No, it's I'm pretty harsh on romance movies.
Yeah.
A lot of movies where they have like where you have to kind of feel bad for somebody or whatever, and it's like it's heartwarming but it's lovely but it's like tragic, and it's like that kind of, it has to be really good if it's trying to do those things.
I'll try to find us a good romance because I know they're out there.
True romance
is the one.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
True romance is amazing.
Yeah, you're like, gonna ride that horse off that building, aren't you?
Come up with a better romance movie, people. That's your job.
Yeah. No, I think here's a hot take. I think romance movies nowadays, they resort to colorful language when they normally never had to.
Mm-hmm.
They have really awful plots if they're like towards the lower end.
Sure.
It's like, it's just, I'm going to fall in love with that guy from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
He'll know who I am. And
yeah,
there's like a dime a dozen, those kind of movies.
Yep.
I just want something in the middle. Give me some romance in the middle. Like, I don't even want to see people having sex.
No.
I don't want that. I just want, can't people just be like, let's try this thing.
It's just, I want something lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
You hear that, Hollywood? Love.
Lovely.
Love poems.
Love poems.
Can you off the top of your head do a love poem?
No.
All right. I will not. I will spare the audience.
So you can, but you just
refuse can.
To. Okay.
She arrived early one day.
Okay.
I think that's how all poems.
I feel like that's like you're like a detective.
Yes, noir. My love is noir.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
She walked into my office.
The dame was gorgeous, smoking her Virginia Slims.
That's right.
I took one look at her and I knew she was trouble.
That's right. She always is trouble. No question.
Little did I know.
I was looking for trouble.
I was looking for trouble.
Jazz music.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what instrument that is.
I don't know.
Harpsichord. All right. You want to go? I got this. You know
you
what?
Got
I'm going to take the helm. I'm going to say, I got this.
Whoa.
I'm going to do it. I'm getting all pumped up. Here we go. My love poem. Pump me up. I'm going anime again. I'm doing it. It's happening. I don't know what I stared at you for. Like, give me some sort of...
You were pumped up. I didn't want to look down at your crotch to see if you actually had an erection, so I was just looking into your eyes. It wasn't because I was enamored.
I didn't bring the pump. So, continuing with my love of anime that came out in the 80s and probably came over here in the 90s, is Lilycat. Have you ever seen Lilycat?
No, I've never heard of it.
1987. This is an hour, 20 minutes, genre animation, action horror. It is Japanese animation, like I said. Directed by I drank too much to do Japanese names. Hisayuki Toriyama, starring Hiroyuki Okita, sober Tim could do this. Masako Katsuki and Osamu Saka. All right, we got
close enough. Great work in that.
Yes. Your summary. The expendable crew of a corporate space vessel must stop a murderous shape-shifting alien organism that somehow got on board.
Hmm.
So, basically, this anime, when I watched it back in, let's just guess, 95 or whenever, when like all those anime started coming over to here, VHS format, that's where I saw it, I rented it, and I rewatched it now because I'm like, oh, I remember that thing. I bet it's way worse than I remember.
Okay.
And it is. this is very much, let's rip off Alien.
Sounds like Alien and the Thing.
It's Alien and the Thing.
Okay.
It so much is.
Sounds like a morning radio show. Alien and the Thing.
Hey, KBBB with Alien and the Thing. he shapeshifts. He kills people. Xenomorphing for days.
Nice.
Take it over to the fat man for weather.
It gonna rain.
It gonna rain.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks, Ollie. While it's its own thing, it borrows from Alien and The Thing. Fun visuals, but terrible dialogue.
Okay.
If you watch the dub. So I put on, one of my favorite things to do with anime is to have the audio be the dub, but have the subtitles be from the Japanese version and have them going at the same time. So it's like something really deep. This line delivery is super deep, but then the American version of it is like, well, I guess we're gonna shoot it, you know? This is way too much Alien. The whole idea of a corporation wanting to capture the thing and bring it back.
Yeah.
If you've never seen good movies, you might think this is the greatest thing ever.
I mean, it's a cool concept, right? Like, it's one of those movies that's a great gateway movie because you're like, yeah. Oh, man, this is so cool. And then you get to see Alien and The Thing, and you're just like, never mind, it's not that cool.
Right. I will say they did some cool things. It's not a complete waste. Like, it is worth an hour, 20 minutes, I feel. Some of the turns they do, it's great. It's kind of like an alternate cut of Alien if you want to watch it. But it's not that great, so I'm sorry. I knew this anime was gonna be trouble.
All these Lilycat fans are gonna write in and be like, what are you talking about?
If you can find them. I love this movie because I remember how bad the dialogue was and it made me chuckle.
Nice.
And I mean, it does enough interesting things, but IMDb gives it a 6.2.
okay,
pretty surprising for how I make this sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rotten Tomatoes, not having nothing to do with it.
That we ignored it,
actually. This is the one. When I looked for it, the page no longer existed.
Okay. You know,
I got like that 404 error. Yeah. It's like, nope.
Wow.
I could search for it. The picture of it came up, mm-hmm. but it's not actually there. My score, 5.5. It's a serviceable thing, but it's two other things combined.
Okay.
So there's better anime out there, but if you just want to be a completionist and watch kind of that 80s, 90s kind of anime,
sure.
There you go. It's a thing.
Yeah.
There's cool things that happen. The gore. Oh my God, the gore is great.
Sure.
But that's about it.
Fair enough. I watched a sci-fi movie.
Ooh, I like sci-fi.
It's from 1995.
I like 1995.
Yeah, and all of my movies have numbers in them this episode.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting.
Yeah, this one is 12 Monkeys.
Ooh, 12 Monkeys. Good movie.
Yeah, I watched this in June. It is 2 hours and 11 minutes long, as mentioned before, sci-fi. Also, they classify it as a drama, which I guess.
A little bit.
It's directed by the great Terry Gilliam.
I like Terry Gilliam.
As you should. It stars Brad
Arthur
Pitt.
Two Sheds Jackson. I think that was him. He was the one. The python.
Yeah. Brad Pitt, Bruce Willis, Madeline Stowe is in this movie. There's a bunch of people in this movie.
Would you say this is the movie that kind of put Brad Pitt on a lot of people's radar?
Oh, yeah.
Because he was kind of just heartthrob before this.
Yep.
People don't remember.
He was a face.
He was just kind of a face.
Yep.
Meet Joe Black. It's like, eh.
Yep.
No, I'd rather not.
Yeah, this movie... really, I think, kind of proved that he has some range.
Yeah.
So, imprisoned in the 2030s, James Cole, who's played by Bruce Willis, is sent back to the 1990s. Once there, he's to gather information about a nascent plague that is about to exterminate the vast majority of the world's population.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is kind of Terry Gilliam at, I wouldn't say peak Terry Gilliam, I think peak Terry Gilliam is Brazil.
Fair.
I think this is very Terry Gilliam, though. There are definitely like the times where they're like the scientist group that's preparing Bruce Willis's character to go back is very much out of the Terry Gilliam playbook. They're all real weird. The science and the tech is real weird. Even the world where it's just like, hey, it's a lion.
Right.
And like it's in Philadelphia and there's a lion just kind of hanging out is all really Terry. Like it all is very much his style.
He goes all over the place.
He does. And I think this movie's really good. If you're going in, notice I did not say action movie because I think a lot of people, for some reason, think this is an action movie.
I just think because everything Bruce Willis did at this point was an action
movie. Yeah, and it is not an action movie. So don't go in expecting like crazy gunplay or anything like this. Is very much...
I think because it's like a weird guy movie.
Yes.
And like guy movie at that time was, we're shooting shit.
Yep, and it is not that at all. It is definitely a... more thoughtful kind of what if, or wouldn't that be crazy kind of movie than it is a straight up action movie. There's not even really like a huge like action payoff. There's tension and there's drama and there's conflict, but there's nothing like we're firing guns at each other and bullets are whizzing by our heads and things like that.
Right.
So don't go in looking for that. But if you haven't seen it, it is definitely worth your time. Brad Pitt is freaking crazy good.
He's very good in this movie.
Very crazy as well.
This is what started turning him, because I didn't give two shits about Brad Pitt.
Nope.
Before this. And then this happens, and then Fight Club shortly after. I'm like, oh man, what can this guy not do?
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very good.
It's hard to imagine a time where like him and Leonardo DiCaprio were like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, right?
It's how a lot of people felt about him.
Sure. Yeah, he was Brad Pitt early on was like Thelma and Louise.
Yep.
Where he was just a face. Leonardo DiCaprio was on Growing Pains.
Mm-hmm. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape? And then he was in Quick and the Dead.
Yep.
And it's like, who cares?
Nobody cares about you.
Yeah.
And although Thelma and Louise is a great movie, he was still just a face.
Yeah, he was just a face. But if you don't believe me, maybe you'll believe all of the reviews for this movie.
Ooh.
IMDb score, 8.
Wow,
out of 10.
That's high.
Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 89 from 66 nice. Reviewers. Audience, 88%. So that's an 8, an 89, and an 88.
Pretty definitive, I think.
Yeah, I am kind of lodged in the middle of all that, and I give it an 8.5 yeah. out of 10.
I feel like that's the right answer. I just remember really enjoying that movie.
That's very good.
And then rewatching it not too long ago, and also still just really the payoffs were all good.
Yep.
Good stuff, Max. Good stuff.
Woohoo.
Good work.
Thanks.
I'm glad you brought us up, because I'm here to bring us back down.
Uh-oh.
With 2011's Some Guy Who Kills People.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still in this Amazon kick.
Yep.
Where I just watch whatever stupid thing comes up.
What title is this? I'm going to watch it.
It can't be that bad, right? It's almost like it's an endurance test for me.
I think so.
And I think I've won. I think I've proven myself at this point. So once they're done, I'll stop watching them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you certainly have proven you'll keep doing it.
Yeah, once I review them, I'll start doing good movies, I promise. But Some Guy Who Kills People.
Okay.
I watched it sometime because I didn't write it down.
Right.
IMDb minutes, 1 hour 37 minutes. Comedy, crime, drama. It's very loosely comedy. There are comedic moments, but it's not actually intended. This is one of those ones that leans drama horror, but it has these weird moments and you laugh at them.
Because it's The Room?
Kind of.
What are you going to do? Might as well just laugh, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like that. So this was directed by Jack Perez. It stars Kevin Corrigan, Barry Boswick, and Karen Black.
Wow.
I know, there's people in this.
Yeah, okay.
Good old Barry Boswick, huh?
Yeah.
Your summary. Ken Boyd, that's his name.
Okay.
I always like a review when it's like, this is the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bunch of reviews coming up where I just got mad and stopped writing them because it was like, this guy's name is this. He goes to this place with this guy. It's played by blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not a summary. That's like a regurgitation.
Yep.
But this one's not as bad. Ken Boyd, a lonely man, fresh out of the loony bin, who sets out to kill those he deems responsible for his miserable life.
Okay.
Slow movie. Slow with small payoffs. I do like his portrayal, keeping to himself and secretly being a murderer. They did a really good job of him just being off. He's off. And, you know, this is a movie, because we've talked about mental health on previous episodes.
Yep.
At no point did I feel like he disrespected a mental health and like him being released from a mental institution.
Good.
Even though he was a murderer still.
Right.
And he did bad things. This is kind of, so it's like a drama because he's trying to, you know, fall in love. He's trying to do things in his community. He's trying to be a guy, normal guy.
Trying to be a man.
He's living with his mother because he just got a loony bin.
Yeah.
And she's a wackadoodle too. So there you go. But he's just trying to be a normal guy, but he can't. Because he knows, I could just kill this person, it'd be fine, right? It's kind of like his mentality.
Sure.
So it's like, well, is he going to show up in the girl's basketball game and support her? Or is he going to murder his coworker? Like, it's that kind of story.
Interesting.
It is interesting. It's just not great.
Understood.
IMDb score, I don't know. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
Knowing them, it's like a 4, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Rotten Tomatoes, 10 critics, 80%.
Sounds like
bullshit.
Sounds like we paid 10 critics.
Sure does. Audience score, 637 people, 59%.
Okay. Still higher than I expected.
Yes. I give it a 4.5.
Okay.
And the fact that I breezed through this movie so quickly should tell you there's just not a lot here.
Not a lot of meat on the bone.
Not a lot of meat on the bone. Even Barry Boswick can't save it.
Right.
I mean, he's just kind of a recurring character. He's great. I think everybody's acting is fine. The movie's just weak.
Right.
Because I think everybody did, like, at no point was I offended, you know.
Good.
But
just
milk
toast, yeah. Nothing.
It's just super boring. And, you know, avoid some guy who kills people is kind of a general rule.
Okay. It's a good rule to live by.
That's the way I live my life.
So there's sometimes in this show where I watch a movie because I love this movie.
Sure.
And I can't be expected to give fair reviews of movies I love. This is one of them.
I'll remember that.
It's 1988's Phantasm 2.
Oh, I know you love Phantasm 2.
So Phantasm 2 is a special movie to me because we had Phantasm and Phantasm 2 taped on the same VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is my dumbass father taped over the last 15 minutes of Phantasm 1.
Oh, no.
So the only way I ever got to see the end of Phantasm 1 was because it happens to pick up right at the beginning of Phantasm 2.
Oh.
So there was like a 5-minute bit of business that I never knew what happened in Phantasm, but I knew everything that happened in Phantasm 2.
Sure.
So I tended to watch Phantasm 2 more as a kid.
Right.
So I have a very fond memory of Phantasm 2. I watched this in June. It is 1 hour and 37 minutes, and it is a horror movie. It is directed by the great Don Coscarelli. Mm-hmm. You may know him from a little movie called Bubba Hotep, which if you haven't fucking seen, you need to see it.
That movie's fun.
Oh, movie's so good. James Lee Gross is in this movie. Reggie Bannister's in this movie. Paula Irvine's in this movie. Angus Scrimm's in this movie. None of these names probably mean anything to you, but they mean everything to me.
Oh, shit.
This movie is about, upon being released from a mental institution.
Sure.
See the theme?
Yeah, no, there's a theme here.
Mike Pearson and friend Reggie Bannister set out to kill the tall man after he murders Reggie's family. This tall man ain't fucking around.
No, that seems fair, though.
On the way, they meet a hitchhiker and a psychic to help him do battle with the mysterious tall man.
I mean, when you say it like that.
Yeah. So thoughts on this movie. I put in here that I have a very deep affection for this film. I think it is a great sequel. I think James Lee Gross is a pretty good pickup for the movie. I don't think he's quite as good as Michael Baldwin was in the first one or the subsequent third, fourth, or fifth ones, but I think he services the character fairly well. I think him and Reggie have a good rapport, which is really important. By the way, Reggie character is also the actor Reggie Bannister. They have the same name and
kept it simple.
Yeah. I think they're both very good together. I think Reggie Bannister is phenomenal in this movie. He's so good at like being that borderline campy yet serious. Like, he's a dude clearly out of his depth trying to handle the tall man, and he's just like a like late 40s early 50 year old ice cream vendor, and he's just like out of his depth, and he's just like, I don't fucking care, I have nothing left to live for, so fuck it.
Yeah.
He does a really nice job of that. There's some good funny moments. One of my favorite moments in this movie is there's these gravedigger characters that wear gas masks, and at a point they're about to have a chainsaw duel, so Reggie pulls out a chainsaw, which is just a regular old chainsaw, and he's like, you know what I mean, he says something like one of the big insults across the movie is calling everything a mother, but sure. No follow-up, just a sure. Mother. And so he challenges the gravedigger with this chainsaw, and the gravedigger pulls out a chainsaw that's like 3 times longer than a normal chainsaw and fights him with this like obnoxious giant chainsaw. It's so such a good moment, and the look on his face is tremendous.
It's
when
so
this
good.
Chainsaw just keeps coming out of where the guy pulls it out. He's like, it's just like sitting off to the side, and it just keeps coming into frame. It's great. The special effects in this movie are phenomenal. This is early KMB stuff. I think Marsh Sjostrom was the runner of the makeup department for this one. It is so good. I think it adds a great amount to the mythos of Phantasm. I think it makes the tall man even scarier. There's a bunch more, and it doesn't go over the top. It's got one of the most legitimately frightening lines in a horror film for me of all time. There's a priest in the movie, and after stringing the priest up by his rosary and leaving him hanging and like being strangled to death, the tall man looks him in the face and he says the line. It's from the first one, but it got cut out. He says, when you die, you think you go to heaven, you come to us. And he just lets the guy fall down. It's just like, you're not even dying will get you out of this. Like, you are so absolutely fucked. It's just like that idea, that concept is so singularly frightening to me. It's like Jason kills you, at least you're dead.
Yeah.
Which is like, if it's the tall over. Man gets you, the shit just started to hit the fan.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying on another level. IMDb, 6.5 out of 10.
Probably good.
This is
them,
where
right?
Things get scary.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 16 critics, 38%.
Oh, okay.
Audience score, 57%.
Okay.
I cannot be trusted, and I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. I do love this movie in a big bad way. And if you like horror movies, I think this one's way up your alley. It's not the original Phantasm by any stretch, mm-hmm. but I do think it adds a lot of redeeming qualities to the movie while not going too far with the sequelitis thing. It's really good. It came out like over 10 years, I believe, after the original did. Like, it was a long departure.
Sounds right.
Like late 70s, like 76, 77, and this one came out in 88. So it's a pretty big leap of years between those two sequels. So it's not like he was doing it for a cash grab or anything. It's pretty cool.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Money don't make you happy, audience.
Nope.
It's nice to have, though.
No, silver balls in your head do, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
My balls.